The following is a quarantine recording presented to you in Around Sound.
It was recorded with whatever was lying around.
Lady don't take no shit, insist on respect the sister, walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying, don't play. The girl take herself so seriously, people stare curiously. She got a natural way, her hips sway furiously. Yet luxuriously, carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest thing you see this side of the bay.
Hey, this is Lady Don't Take No, your weekly roundup of all of the real and none of the fake. I'm your host, Alicia Garza. This show is pro-black, pro-queer, proudly feminist, and pro-do-what-you-like. Every week, you're going to get the best of what goes on in my head, what we're loving on, what we're hating on, what we might be, and what we ain't going to do. Politics, pop culture, press conferences with a man who some of y'all call a president, we cover it all. We are recording from Oakland, California, the center of the known universe, where we are dealing with Rona and rebellion. It's a challenging time, a changing time, a time of transformation. It's all the things all the time nowadays, but we are going to help you understand the dynamics of this time every single week. So be sure to tune in, tell a friend, and don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We do it for the culture, so this pod is free 99 because we know that with a country in chaos, the very least we could do is keep you from putting your money anywhere else than where it's needed. I also just got to say real quick that, you know, because we are in Rona and rebellion, my neighbors are also rebelling against me with a leaf blower that is happening at the exact time that we record the pod. Our guest this week is a badass. She really is a badass. She is the director and co-founder of Mi Gente, a digital and grassroots organizing hub for Latinx and Chicanx people. I hope I said that shit right. In her almost 20 years as an organizer and movement builder, Marisa has helped to lead key grassroots organizing campaigns rooted in low income and communities of color. She's a badass, is basically what I want to say here. She was named a New York Times 2018 visionary. She has been featured on CNN, MSNBC, Univision, and El Punto. We're going to talk about that today. Politico and The Washington Post. I can only be talking about the homegirl, the hand grenade, and my bestie, Marisa Franco. What's up, Marisa? Welcome.
What's up, boo? It's good to hear your voice. I'm just sorry that we are not able to have this conversation in person over some drinks.
You know what? I know. It's whack, man. I feel like the Rona is trying to break us up, but we are going to stay together. So first question I want to ask you. Talk to me about quarantine life. What has your quarantine life been like? Are you developing any unique habits live and direct from Miss Rona?
It has been, recently it started to get annoying. I definitely I'm somebody that finds myself in the wind. That likes to, I need to get lost sometimes to find myself. This is definitely the longest that I've been home and not traveling. Mm-hmm. But I will say, the thing that's gotten me through is my bike.
Yes.
So I got introduced to, gifted a bicycle. So all these times, can't go anywhere, I like to hit a good bar at the end of the day.
I know it, girl. I'd be there right with you. Trust.
but all the rules and all, and so it's just been the one thing I think I can do, and it's what I found, you can also do calls. Mm-hmm. So it's been my rebellion from Zoom calls, and I do calls when I'm riding my bike. And I found it to be a tremendous stress reliever. Uh-huh. And I feel like I'm escaping while I'm doing work. So I really appreciated that.
This is right up your alley. Talk to me about any guilty pleasures that Miss Rona has given you. Little things where you'd be like, fuck it. We in the middle of a pandemic. I'm going to do what I need to do.
I don't know if I'm a little Swiss cheese brain because what Rona has brought me is my 2.5-year-old is home most of the time. So I think I'm dealing with most of his guilty pleasures and have not had sufficient time and space to develop my own.
That's fair. And, you know, just for folks who don't know, this child who happens to be my god baby is walking and talking, and he's talking, like talking. And he knows what he likes, and he definitely knows what he don't like. So
yeah, he's a lady don't take no child for sure.
He really is. We need to do kid gear, because he is going to be the mascot and the ambassador. We are in the midst of all the things, and you've been on my mind a ton. I mean, obviously, we chitty chat all the time, but you've been on my mind, especially in this moment. The world is shifting in ways that I think you and I can both say we've not seen in our lifetimes. Mm-mm. And I'm curious to hear from your perspective. There's so many eyes right now on what's happening in Black communities across the nation, and really, we're starting to expand that vision, right, globally, and trying to make those connections. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also know that here in Oakland, for example, just last week, a young Latinx brother was murdered by the CHP, and his pregnant girlfriend was also shot in her stomach. And, you know, every time something like that happens, right, we hear that Latinos, right? And the Latinx community is also experiencing extreme violence at the hands of police and policing. So I want to ask you, what is the role of the Latinx community right now? Understanding that not only are there Black folks who are Latinx, and if that's new information to you,
hello.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But also that our communities are facing some of the same challenges. So break this down for me. What is the role of the Latinx community right now in this moment?
I think that when we started Mi Gente in 2015, and one of the things that's been sometimes super challenging is like it's not quite like a campaign. It's not an electoral thing. Like it's not like there's like a victory that's like you can kind of point it, right? But when I've been asked, what is the marker of success for this political project that I've been pouring my life force into for the last few years? And it is that all Latinx people, and I say all because it's just, as you mentioned, it's a very, very diverse, mixed grouping of people. But although the community is diverse, although there's regionalism, there's all these different complexities, what I think we can understand is that Latinx people haven't always been on the right side or have sometimes opted to stay on the sidelines. We have an opportunity right now to stand and move and act on the right side of history. And it is a precious opportunity. And when I think of what needs to be done right now, and people are like, what can I do? How can I help? And I think we talked about this once. It's like frustrating because it's like, there's not an easy answer. There's not 8 things you can do that's going to make it all fix. Mm-hmm. But although there are no easy answers, at the same time, there's probably no other work that is more righteous in this time than for Latinx people, however they find their relationship to this issue, to actually get information and move. You know, sometimes in electoral politics, they talk about the swing vote. And I think of the Latinx community as a swing force. It's one of the fastest growing populations in this country. And for many years, we were told demographics is destiny. So, you know, just keep having babies and keep registering to vote. And this should be all handled lickety split. And that is folly. And that was part of Mi Gente's founding, is that transformative change doesn't come just having simply more of us. It comes from there needs to be more from us. And so in this particular moment, it's a calling to Latinx people, again, however we relate to this, because the ways we relate to this is very complicated and very varied. But what I think is clear is it's time to step off the sidelines if you're off the sidelines. And if you're already in motion, do more. And I think that that's in sum total what we need to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I feel that deeply in my soul, especially on this piece around representation not being enough. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, it's almost as if we've gotten so far by pushing for us to just be at the table, but we don't have no criteria about what's on the menu. And so it's like, sure. I mean, we're having this conversation around, you know, a vice president and a vice presidential kind of candidate, and folk, including myself, kind of calling for there to be a Black woman. And also knowing that we need to have that kind of drill down around, well, not just any Black woman, right? Because if we have any Black woman, then we could get a whole bunch of things, right? We could get a Black woman with an agenda that isn't ours. Mm-hmm. And I know that in conversations about what it means to activate electorates, right? We assume that our people are monoliths. We assume that our people are not being impacted by the very same messages, right, that white folks in this country are being impacted by. I think that's a really, really important piece. And it leads me into wanting to talk to you more about Mi Gente. Now, I know the whole story. I was around when the thing began.
Eating popcorn.
Basically. I've eaten popcorn being like, she about to fuck y'all up. But tell the good people who are listening right now, how did Mi Gente come to be? Now that we're talking about representation and trying to make sure that our communities are not only participating, but participating in such a way that is helping to move the right agenda forward. Talk to me about Mi Gente, how you started it, why it started, and why we need it.
Yeah. So previous to Mi Gente, I was part of a crew of folks that ran the Not One More Deportation campaign, which was demanding to President Obama, in the absence of congressional action to deal with the issues related to immigration and what immigrants were going through, to take action within his power as president to stop deportations. So at the local level, people were turning up on deportation cases, on, you know, local policies that could help curb what was going on with federal immigration enforcement being melded with local law enforcement. You know, right now we're having this conversation, you know, police are doing way too much. They got a lot of money and they got a lot of work that they're doing. And do they really have to be doing that work? Mm-hmm. One of the jobs that they're doing is in many ways enforcing and acting as federal deportation agents. And if that seems like, well, that doesn't seem abnormal. When you get stopped by the cops, you don't get asked, did you file your taxes for last year, right? Nobody gets asked that. If a cop asks you that, you'll be like, what are you asking me? And essentially, immigration status and the enforcement of immigration status has been a civil federal offense. So it's essentially a federal civil matter akin to the IRS. So I like to kind of draw that connection for people because I know immigration can be confusing and kind of a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. But point is, we ran that campaign. It was tremendous organizing that happened, tremendous interventions. And there was two kind of victories that were gained in that time by the immigrant rights movement. One was DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and DAPA, which basically extended that benefit to people who had children that were born in the U.S. We knew that wasn't enough. But sometimes victory, I like to say, like, victory is a reset button. You build up all this momentum. You make the argument, all of a sudden your target or whoever you're asking from caves. And everybody likes the end of the story. Oh, the story's done. The conflict's over. It's really hard to pick back up and be like, nah, it's not over. It's really hard. So we were facing like, where do we go to next? Because these fools are still going to deport people. Detention centers are growing. The money that they're spending on immigration enforcement is not lowering. At the same time, I'm from Arizona. I left home for many years, came back, and Arizona is one of those places that the population is changing very rapidly. It's been a red state for many years. But when you look at elementary school age children, you kind of see where the future of the state is going. And that is that it is not going to be a white majority state. And so, you know, there was this feeling of like, okay, but then what, right? Because I know we have cities and towns across this country where, you know, the majority or folks in office or people that run the city, they look like us, but they ain't rolling for us. Mm-hmm. They're rolling for the corporations. They're rolling for their next thing that they want to, they're rolling to get paid. Mm-hmm. So it was those two kind of problems, like where next for the immigrant rights movement? And specifically, how do we continue to build political power? And how do we actually, like a place like Arizona, how do we make it actually not just be brown folks that are in office that are fucking us over, just like the white folks did, maybe just a little different? How do we flip the script? And so Mi Gente really in my brain was born out of that, like bringing those two things together. And it was basically like recognizing that. And this was like 2015, 2016. There was a young person, Jesse Hernandez, who was killed by the cops in mm-hmm. Denver, Colorado. And she was shot. She was queer. They claimed that they thought that she was a guy or boy, which shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be an excuse for killing her. She kind of like, you could see there was like an uproar about her death, mm-hmm. but I saw the story and I kind of related to it. And it was just dawned on me, like there ain't going to be no justice for that child. Mm-hmm. No one's going to claim, no movement will claim that child. And so then it just really made me think about the millions, millions of people. And then it just started to really kind of flourish, right? The way ideas do of like, man, our community is really growing in this country, but we don't really see ourselves. And the backlash is going to come. And it was like a drumbeat, you know, in that time. Mm-hmm. The backlash is going to come. And it's like we're going into a hurricane with an umbrella.
That's right.
And you can imagine what's going to happen if you go into a damn hurricane with an umbrella. You're going to get fucked up. And so there was this way where Mi Gente was born out of like, we need to do something because there's some shit coming down and it's not going to be cute. But then there was this other part that was like, but how do we do it different? And so Mi Gente was created to respond to the fights of our time, that it was very clear they were coming. Very, very clear. It was born in response and in relationship to an answering a call from Black Lives Matter and the movement for Black Lives. Very much so. And then I think it was also a reckoning with we in the Latino community, there's been too much, you know, if you're too Black, if you're too queer, if you're a woman, if you're too this, if you're too that, if you've been locked up, people don't really have a space. Mm-hmm. And so it was very much an explicit, an intentional bucking of what was conventional politics. And still, you know, to this day, I think something we hold very dear. And so then you can imagine in this particular time is game time for us because this is what we were built for. You know, the way things happen when ideas come to you, right? It's like scenes and snippets and then it's a puzzle. And one day it just kind of, you see a picture and you see a vision and then you get off and you go.
Oh, I love that so much. I love it so much. I got stuff to ask you about because we're approaching, well, it's a primary season that frankly is giving me a stomachache.
I know.
And we are barreling towards a general election that every day I feel increasingly worried about. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I were like the two-state solution when primaries were actually primaries, right? So your organization supported Tio Bernie and mine supported E-Dubs, aka mm-hmm. We Could Have Had a Bad Bitch. Both candidates are now out of the race. And now we're, like I said, in the midst of a season that is literally making my stomach hurt with every passing day. What is your advice to folks out there like me who are like just not feeling it? Okay. Because frankly, we could be getting a lot more from folks who want to lead this country right now. So what's your advice to people who are out there like, yeah, I'm just not really thinking about the election. And frankly, the election's making my stomach hurt and I'm just not fucking with it.
First off, don't fuck with it. If you don't want to fuck with it, don't fuck with it. Like, there's hella shit happening. First of all, I would say, like, it's not an either or. It's not, I mean, it's important to hold space. Like, yo, if this shit was so easy, if there was only one way to get to freedom, we would have fucking had that already. So it's very important to hold space for different approaches to how we get to change. Mm-hmm. And so that's one. Two, with respect to the election, I do think everybody should vote. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't cost us anything. And when I think, and so some people are going to really mobilize around the vote, and some people may just show up and, you know, or turn in their mail-in ballot if they can do it. The one thing I think that was important for us, that was the first time that we ever endorsed a presidential candidate. And it was important to mark, we are not picking our savior. We did not think whether it was Theo Bernie, whether it was E-Dubs, they all have their flaws. Let's not get confused. They all have mm-hmm. their flaws. Mm-hmm. We are not picking our savior. We save ourselves. That is the actual fundamental thing that we're trying to nurture with our organizing, is that we save ourselves. By coming together and taking collective action, we save ourselves. We transform ourselves. This is the election is a decision point in which we are picking our target. And I think you've also talked about it as setting the organizing terrain in which we're going to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to think of in this time. Now, with respect, let's just go there. Do I get annoyed? Do I get disappointed? Do I get frustrated with how the Biden campaign is doing or not doing? Absolutely. And you know what? The way I look at it, it's like, yo, you making our jobs harder, yo. Mm-hmm. But like, we still have a job to do, because I can say from just living over, like, there is a very basic element, like, we have to get Trump out. Mm-hmm. We have to get him out, at the very least, from approaching this November as harm reduction. You know, Trump has just laid it all out. You know, I've really thought about the Dred Scott case and that thing. There are no rules that a white man has to abide by. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think as a president, Trump has shown us he said it in the campaign in 2016, I could go and shoot someone in the streets of New York mm-hmm. and ain't nothing going to happen to me. That's and he's right. proceeded to harm, to maim, to denigrate practically every damn day of his presidency. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about what he's going to do when he doesn't have to worry about reelection. So, you know, the advice is like, yo, what I hope people fundamentally understand, that if we keep looking away, if we keep sitting on the sidelines, if we do nothing, what we know is probably going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And so whatever your flavor is, whatever your estilo is, make a play. Mm-hmm. Make a play. We all have to do it.
Ashe, girl. Yes. Last week on the pod, my sis Angela and I, we had a good kiki on defund the police, because, you know, people be acting like they confused, and they not confused, they just disagree. And so I actually just need to start from the right place, right? And mm-hmm. I'm not going to go all the way back into that rant, because, well, actually, I might go back into that rant, but I'm not going to do it right now. Before I go back into that rant, I thought about you this week, Marisa, because y'all were like ahead of the game and launched a campaign to abolish ICE. I just want to hear your perspective on this. This must be really weird for you all right now, right? To see not only some of the same dynamics, right, but some different ones as well. So I just want to hear from your vantage point, what do people need to know about whether or not we can message test our way to freedom? And also, let me thank Katrina Gamble for giving us this gem of gems. I have been using it all week and it has been giving me life. So give me your perspective on this.
No, we can't message test. So I think a lot of folks who are directly impacted by these systems, who have been advocating to radically transform these systems, inevitably, you end up down a road where there is no more way forward. And you have to face the fact that the structures as they are must be dismantled, must be transformed. And I think that is the case with respect to immigration enforcement. And it is definitely the case with policing. I think in particular with policing. Mm-hmm. And there is a way where just look around, like, you know, when you talk about, you know, eliminating student debt, when you think about whatever your damn type of damn healthcare you want, the fact is what we have now ain't good enough. Mm-hmm. And whatever we want to get is going to cost money. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, education is whack, you know, people, we should have more education. You could just go down the list. Mm-hmm. And there is no money for that. There ain't no money for that. And so whether or not, like, some people are not going to agree because it's just not their experience, or maybe they just don't give a damn about defunding something like the police or defunding or abolishing ICE. Mm-hmm. I think that, so that's fine. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep telling our truth. But regardless, there is this fundamental truth is that, like, do we want to have a government that basically functions to protect property, dole out money to corporations and billionaires like Jeff Bezos, and then, you know, militarize the world, police the world, and police your neighborhoods? Or do you want a government that actually is using the money you put into it to better educate the future generations of this country, to make sure that people have access to healthcare, to make sure that people have access to clean communities and a clean environment, to actually make good, and repair the past harms of this country? And I think there you start to really open it up and there's a different conversation you can have. But, you know, you see that video? I mean, I don't watch the videos anymore. I started to watch this one. I just stopped. Mm-hmm. I started to watch this one and I couldn't.
That's right.
It is so in fucking defensible.
That's right.
I think there's just something that just broke. And I hope and I pray that our movements and our people, all of our people, mm-hmm. all people of conscience, mm-hmm. we can push forward something different. And I know that it's going to get to the point where you have to make different arguments. And I'm also deeply aware, as you are, I'm sure, that these fools are not going to sit on their laurels and not going to say, you're right, let's pack it up and go. They're going to come harder. They're going to come smarter. They're going to do the beat down. They are going to divide. They're going to try to conquer. And what gives me hope is just what that video opened up. And it is painful. It is a wound. But what you see when you talk about policing is the vast experiences that people have being brutalized, being minimized, being treated like shit, being fucked over and feeling like something's wrong. And for many, many, many years, feeling like nothing can be done about it. And somehow, some fucking way in this moment, something feels like it can be done. Mm-hmm. And I just hope we can keep pushing and actually gain more people to be able to get to something else.
Mm. You know what? I had another question, but I'm gonna leave this one right here because that's how we need to end this day. And just like that, it's time for our weekly roundup of all the things we just ain't gonna do this week. So, first things first. Lady don't take no conspiracy theories and false outrage. Okay, my people, we have officially reached the point in this story where it's like, holy shit, the Black Liberation Movement is taking the country by storm. And our enemies are out here like, hold my beer. Y'all did not really think that we would be out here marching, rising up all over the world, making Congress end their ronication early and write some damn legislation about policing, changing the conversation with even white people being irate about getting everyone everywhere to defund the police. You didn't think we were going to do all that and that there would be no pushback, right? Child, I mean, honestly, we haven't even seen their whole bag of tricks, but let me tell you this. Y'all keep looking for the gotchas, and I'm telling you, and mark my words here, folks, lots of folks are walking right into this trap. Folks out here are having to spend a lot of time defending themselves just when we were going on the offensive. Ask our friends who are left what the FBI and COINTELPRO did to the Black Panther Party for self-defense. Sure, movements and organizations must be accountable and transparent. Just don't forget to ask yourself where the calls for accountability and transparency are actually coming from. I've seen a lot of bullshit out there. Lots of moves are being made right now to disrupt, disturb, discredit, delegitimize, and push to disregard the success of these movements in changing culture and changing policy. So ask yourself, who am I helping here and what is my purpose? But bigger than that, what impact does this have? Am I treating movements like they're reality shows where I'm looking for entertainment and gossip? Or am I working to build these movements up? Here's the way to build movements and make sure that they're also accountable. Number one, bring your beef directly to who you have it with and commit to working it out. Number two, investigate your assumptions and your conclusions. If you hear something you're curious about, ask someone you think would know. Don't spread unconfirmed accusations on social media without checking the source and checking with people who know whether or not there's a basis for that concern. Number three, a golden rule. Show up for movements the way you would want someone to show up for you if you were suddenly highly visible, getting resources where you didn't have any before, and if there were allegations swirling around about you. Enough on that for now, but we might come back to it on another episode because it feels like this is not only news you can use, as my friend Rashad Robinson is known to say, it's also news that's worth spreading through the grapevine. Other things Lady just ain't gonna do this week includes letting the Orange Menace hold any moral standing whatsoever on basically anything. In the news this week, somebody's so-called leader made an announcement that he was signing an executive order that basically does, well, it basically doesn't do that much at all. A complete and total stunt for the cameras in the face of perhaps one of the greatest failures of moral leadership we've seen this month, Toupee Fiasco basically announced that in the face of unmitigated murder of Black people by police, in the face of uprisings around the globe in response to said failure in leadership, that there's just a few bad police that need some adjustments. So this man basically said the following. Y'all should look at yourselves, y'all being police. We gonna give the DOJ, that's run by another zealot, some money for y'all to look at yourselves, but make it cost effective because we don't have all that kind of money or time to make sure y'all are really looking at yourselves. And some other stuff around establishing a database where we can track all the fucked up things y'all are doing while you look at yourselves. I mean, in the meantime, we're going to study problems that we created with respect to homelessness, a lack of adequate housing and healthcare, and we're going to encourage more cookouts and baseball games with police. We're going to give police officers mental health supports, and also we're going to keep upholding this law and order nonsense. That's it. That's the order, Lady Don't Take No style. I mean, I can make it even shorter, though. Your president is not equipped to lead this country, and we are all suffering because of it. I don't care if your favorite commentator on CNN said this was a good thing. It's basically bullshit. The end. I have a long list of things that would be a better use of pretty much anyone's time and energy, and most importantly, a better use of your money. But in any case, I'm taking zero direction from a man who tear-gassed peaceful protesters to take a picture at a church he's never even attended. So that's that on that. Keep rising, my people. Even the man in the White House is scrambling to clean up the mess that he and his people have made of this country over the last three decades. And despite him being completely incompetent and ineffective, you're not. So keep it up. Keep pushing, because Lady don't like no quitters. Now, here's what we want more of this week, though. Okay, can we talk about the Insecure finale? I am so sad that this show is over for this season, but wow, did we ever go out with a bang. I'm just saying, if you haven't watched the season finale yet, sorry not sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you, because remember, our theme is do what you like. Lawrence and Issa are hurtling down romance lane again, only to be stopped in their tracks by faulty birth control. Woo, Lord Jesus, take the wheel. And meanwhile, Nathan tried to shoot his shot, but he was handily handled. And Molly and Issa are handling business, working on their relationship. But all the while, I can't help but wonder, where the hell is Daniel? Here's another thing that Lady loves this week. Supreme Court decisions that guarantee people their fucking rights. Yes to the Supreme Court decision this week that banned hateration on queer and trans folks in workplaces. Just think about it. On Monday of this week, it was legal to spill your haterade all over queer and trans people trying to feed ourselves and our families in more than half the states in this nation. But the Supreme Court said, we don't need no hateration or holleration in this dancery. And even the Orange Menace agrees, which just goes to show you, he's not true to this, he's new to this. Oh God, that's so great. Marisa, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the pod and talking to us today about all the things that we actually needed to hear about elections, about Latinx folks, our power, our promise, our strength in unity, and also how to dip and dodge the bullshit, because there's a lot of it out here. Tell us, where can the good people connect with you on the socials?
You can get at me at Marisa, M-A-R-I-S-A, underscore Franco, F-R-A-N-C-O. Or you can follow mi gente at con mi gente. And that's mi gente with the J.
Yes.
And the J is for justice and for joteria.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. And that's it for Lady Don't Take No. But I'll be back here every single Friday morning to accompany you where you used to have a commute. We appreciate you joining us, and let's keep the conversation going. Tell us what's on your mind, tell us what you like, and tell us what you just ain't finna take no more of. On Twitter, we're at Lady Take. On Insta, we're at Lady Don't Take No Pod. We're also on Facebook at Lady Don't Take No Podcast by Alicia Garza. We post ways to do something about the things you hear on this show all over our social media. So if we got you amped up today, check out the socials to find out how you can take action. Please subscribe and leave us a review and let the people know what you've heard here today. Our producer is Phil Circus. Our incredible theme is by Latyrix. This pod is supported by the Black Futures Lab. And I'm your host, Alicia Garza. Remember, do what you like applies to the elections too, as long as we acknowledge there's some real shit going down and everyone has a role to play, including you. Watch your mouth when you're spreading things about movements that you don't personally know to be true. You rising up means Congress had to take themselves off of Ronication because there was a Rona rebellion, so keep that shit up. And we're gonna keep changing the rules that are rigged against our communities because we are hating on hateration. That's right, I said it, because Lady Don't Take No.
Lady don't take no. She insists on respect the sister, walk around like a woman. If she won't speak, less it's something worth saying. Don't play the girl, take herself so seriously. People stare curiously. She got a natural way, her hips sway furiously. Yeah, luxurious.
Love y'all.